Utica County Councilman Frank Fasera in the studio. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Fine.
Oh, what's going on? Staying busy? It's that busy time of the year, isn't it?
A lot of things going on this time of year.
How's the farmer's market doing down at Chancellor Park? I didn't get down there yesterday.
The first week, last week,
yeah,
was fine. Yesterday, because of the rain.
I was going to say, it must have gotten rained out. Huh?
There weren't too many vendors, and it really was a tough day for them.
It was pouring out. Yesterday morning, I woke up, I'm like, oh, it's going to be nice. Nope, it's not. It was just downpoured the whole morning. And that scared me, because we're so high up, and the thunder, and the lightning, get creeped out. So, a big ruling on the City of Utica Ambulance Service was handed down the other day, and so the State Supreme Court Judge Patrick McGrath dismissed the city's petition to overturn an earlier decision by the State Emergency Medical Services Council. I know you're on the forefront of this issue. This is big for you. Describe what's going on with the court, with the ambulance service in the City of Utica, and in the court system.
Well, this latest ruling, Mark, has been another. There have been a number of rulings, and this is just another one. This is not the first. I think there's like three or four. And I have been convinced from the beginning that we were on the losing end of the argument. This was contrived right from the beginning, and we tried the experiment. And I believe that we should just admit, have the courage to admit a mistake was made, regroup, and not squander any more money on lawsuits following this up the line. Chief Russ Brooks was very adamant over the last several weeks, saying that he was very confident that the city was going to win this. They didn't. And now to continue on to go to the appellate court, I think is just totally irresponsible.
How much is this costing the city of Utica? Just in lawyers' firm. The lawyers out of Albany, right, that they hired for this?
Well, the estimates that I've gotten, nothing concrete, but it's well over $100,000.
It's a lot of money.
And when you go to the appellate court, that'll even bring it much higher.
Long, drawn-out process.
Yeah, and it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary spending the taxpayer money, especially the way things are now, squandering our resources for something like this. Taxpayers just can't afford it with the fact that the city's in the process now of taking over about another 100 properties soon in foreclosure.
100 properties in the city of Utica.
100 on top of the hundreds that we have in the books. This, again, is not the proper step to take. We should really follow the law, start obeying the law. I'm going to be calling for certain things to take place. I would like to have I'm in the process of trying to form a committee, a very broad-based committee, with members of the Chamber of Commerce, city and local officials, state officials, to come up with an exit plan, going out of business, ambulance business plan, so it's an orderly, very orderly plan to disengage from a losing proposition.
So how many ambulances does the city currently operate?
I believe we have four, and that's another very big problem. I think we are into our sixth year, and everyone in the industry says that an ambulance has about a 3 to 4 year, 5 year lifespan, and that's proven in the fact that the fire department has for the last several months had two ambulances bids ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
They've held them back, waiting for this decision. So that says to me, if the fire department has two ambulances that they're putting on and that they put bids out for, that means two ambulances that we're using are not up to par.
Right.
And that's dangerous, because if you need to replace those ambulances and you're not, that sets up another whole set of circumstances for the public and possible lawsuits. And again, that's just irresponsible behavior.
How do you get things changed in the council? Because it seems like whenever you bring this up, Frank, people get just watching people's body language within the council, they get kind of annoyed. And Chief Brooks, he always rolls his eyes.
They don't want to face reality. I mean, it's tough to change. It's tough to admit, to have the courage to admit you made a mistake. It's tough. But I'm hoping these folks will, Lori Arcuria, obviously, it's going to be tough for her. She was one of the proponents of this. And for her now to say, it's not working. It's some people just very find it very difficult to do. But I think we have to think of the taxpayers at this point. Stop thinking of, you know, we got to set egos aside. And we really have to start thinking of the taxpayer and what's the right thing to do,
right?
Not the emotional thing to do.
Yeah, it could be. I don't like to admit when I'm wrong. That's for sure. But I'm not playing with taxpayers' money.
Well, that's...
And that's what it seems like is going on, is that people are kind of putting their egos and their reputations ahead of what they should be doing. And it's weird because we're in a political, you know, we're in an election season right now. You would think that saving taxpayers' money would be a good platform to run on.
And the taxpayers just can't take anymore.
No, I mean,
saturated, oversaturated.
And especially with, you know, the financial trouble that the city's in. I don't
structural
know.
Structural changes have to be made, and that's what's not being done. I mean, you have, I think, that are really off the mark with all the all good intentions put aside. I mean, you look, you have Utica Council-at-Large Jerry Krause putting up legislation for a surcharge on alcoholic beverages. That is going to bring in perhaps $6,000. All that commotion was created for bringing in $6,000. But there are so many other structural changes that need to be made that would bring in big relief and stop the hemorrhaging.
What would you like to see done?
Well, there are three areas. One of the first areas is closing the academy. The fire academy, cost each year to operate that is, that's on Bleecker Street in Wetmore, I believe. That cost about $200,000 a year. It brings in $80,000, and that's been a huge drain of $120,000 a year over 6 years. Now, it's nice to have. We can't afford it, and it's not an embarrassment to say, look, we tried this. We can't do it at this time. Maybe we can come back at another time. That building should be closed and sold.
How much does that program save the city with training their own firefighters?
Well, with the $80,000, that's all it brings in. So you're losing the $120,000. It's like putting a garden hose in your pool but leaving the drain open.
Yeah, which I've done before. And it's not easy to fill a pool
well,
when that happens.
Maybe you do it once, but you don't do it repeatedly.
Exactly. It's not like I go back to my pool
when
the next year.
Somebody says, Mark, your drain's open. You say, oops, I didn't know that, and you close it.
And say, oh, thanks for the heads up, and I close it. You're right. I know it's getting stiff resistance from the fire department and the heads, you know, especially Chief Brooks. How do you guys get on common ground on something like this? How do you get somebody on board on a plan that he's defending it tooth and nail, this fire academy?
Well, really, it's indefensible. And when you have somebody try to defend an indefensible position, I think over time, I think the public is going to demand that stance be aborted and no longer followed, because there's no credible reasoning behind it other than I want it.
Yeah. I mean, if the numbers, and you're getting these numbers from the city, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
just go, all you have to do is go.
Right.
I mean, Chief Brooks has a number of times said that I'm using false numbers, and I've challenged him to I put my numbers on paper.
Yeah.
I've submitted them, and when he states that they're incorrect, I ask for his numbers. Nothing has ever been brought forth in the 3.5 years that I've been on the council to refute any of my figures, and I really think people have had, you know, enough time to understand that if you're going to say something, you should back it up.
It just seems that what's the city's contingency fund at now? It's like well below what it should be.
$25,000.
$25,000. It should be
Tuesday.
It should be at like a million something, right?
It was 1.6 million at one time, 2 years ago. Then it was last year, I believe, it was 460. Now we're down to 25. We've drained every account.
That's
irresponsible. If a parent did that, if a parent, you know, if a parent or a family came home and both lost their jobs, and then decided to max out their credit cards to take their kids to Disney World. Or live in a way that's unsustainable, and that's what we're doing. You know, that would be child abuse. Right now, we're going through taxpayer abuse. We're really abusing the taxpayer in this city.
So I think those are major issues, and it looks like, you know, and it's an election year, so people are really get a chance to get out there and really grade their elected officials on how they're running the city. I mean, people got to realize this is their money that's going down the drain. And when I was at the last finance meeting, they said they went through, what, $16 million in the last, like, 4 years or something like that? It's
in the finance committee, headed by Councilwoman Scalise, and she's been there a long time. She was a former controller. Yeah. And the co-chair is Councilman Ed Buchero. Never brought this up. This was never brought up to the council. And again, that's a lot of council members found that very, very, were very concerned about that.
And, you know, and Councilman Buchero at the last meeting was very adamant about creating new streams of revenue for the city and not just cutting the budget.
Well, I agree, but he said that after every vote. He said that last year after the 2010 budget, and he said it this year. And as of now, neither he nor Joan Scalise have introduced anything. I think it has to be a balanced approach, but the spending cuts can be done now. We know that. That's not something that we have to investigate, that we have to look into. These things have to be cut now, and this is a perfect time to end this ambulance service. Supreme Court said end it. And I think we're at a crossroads here. If we don't do this, we're just showing that we really don't respect the facts and want to do the right thing for the taxpayer.
Utica Common Councilman for the First Ward, Frank Vissera, is joining us. It's what's the process that you would have to go through to shut down the ambulance? And now they didn't get their certificate, right?
No,
they don't have their operating certificate. So that to me, just looking at from the outside in, if you know a daycare didn't have an operation certificate, they wouldn't be allowed to operate the daycare until they got one. So how is the ambulance service allowed to operate without a certificate?
That's a question that a lot of people have asked. And haven't gotten a responsible answer. But I think after all these years, many taxpayers say enough is enough. The courts have spoken. Let's obey the law and follow the rules. And following the rule of law has been something that has been very, has not happened very often enough in this town.
Illegal meeting the other day.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
It's an illegal meeting.
This is an email we received from you. Illegal questions have arisen concerning the special Utica Common Council meeting held around 12:15 at City Hall. Five members, Jerry Krause, Ed Buchero, Lori Arcuri, Jones Scalise, and Dick Lawler, met and voted on legislation without complying with the 24-hour notice requirement as mandated by the city's Utica Charter. Blah, 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 blah. Response I got yesterday from Judge Garamone. The 24-hour notice provision is there when it is apparent that the council members may not receive timely notice of a special meeting, as well as the media. It did not apply here, where all council members received personal notice of the special meeting. The city clerk informed me that she immediately notified the media at the conclusion of the meeting, and that notice was effective, as demonstrated by your appearance at the meeting, Mr. Brown, and I would not have allowed you to call the media. So, were you notified about the meeting right after the Common Council meeting?
They're not understanding basic English language here. Let me read you. I'm going to read you our charter, what it says. And I think, again, this is one of those things, you know, you made a mistake. They won't admit they made a mistake. With all due respect to the judge, I'm going to read you the short charter rule concerning this. The Common Council shall hold regular meetings at times determined by it and special meetings when called by the mayor, the president of the Common Council, or a majority of the council members upon notice being given to each council member in person or by mail. In person or by mail. Now here's where it comes in. At least 24 hours. So you have to give that person at least a 24-hour notice in person or by mail. And that wasn't done here. So what they're trying to do is parse this and basically change the meaning of the English language. If you take out in person or by mail, I'll read the sentence. Each council member must be given to each council member at least 24 hours before the time stated in person or by mail. Put that phrase at the end. So you have two things going on here. First of all, you have the method of notification, which is in person or by mail, and then you have the time of the notification. Mm-hmm. In either case, you have to have minimum. And that wasn't done. I think it was like 9 hours, and well, depending on whose figures you use, one was 9 hours and one was 15 hours.
Yeah, but it still falls short of the 24 hours.
Exactly. And again, they're going to parse that words, but this all stems from legislation. that was passed, and I voted against it. I was the only one that voted against it, and that's what caused this special meeting. The paving fund, the street paving fund,
yes,
that the voters voted on a few years ago, stated that you had to put $2 million every year into paving.
Mm-hmm.
We get a budget transfer from E&A, and they want to take $100,000, and I think I got a copy of this.
Yep.
And it's very explicit. Now, there's no way you can misunderstand this. Take $100,000 from the paving fund, the street paving
yep.
fund, and put it into the street repair fund.
Yes, yeah.
Now, at the meeting, when I raised that question at the regular council meeting before the vote, I asked that was not a legal process, and I was told by everyone in the room that it was. My response was, well, if that's the case, let's put an amendment here stating that it's legal by certain people, you know.
Right.
Put it in writing. And yep. I'll go along and I'll vote for it. Now, one person,
I was there. And
you
I
hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Nobody said that. Nobody would do that.
No.
So if it's the same thing, why would you have to take it out of the paving fund and put it in the other one?
Right.
Just pay it out of the repair.
Yeah, it was very confusing for me and I didn't really understand it.
These are the type of shenanigans that really are costing the city and not only money, but credibility and confidence. And the confidence levels in this town are not very high.
So you still haven't seen it in writing?
No.
This whole thing. And they did pass it.
Well, they turned around and had the special meeting quickly,
right.
So they didn't need my vote, and they got it through. And that's, to me, again, that's very questionable and very disheartening for a town that is supposed to be a Renaissance city. You don't treat people this way, having these quickie meetings, and then try to validate them with all this jargon that if you read the law, nobody believes it. But again, you don't have anybody to enforce the law.
Yeah, nobody's stepping up. I mean, really, besides you, Frank, nobody's stepping up and say, wait, this isn't the process, and that's not a legal argument. How is that? How is only one guy, you, the only one really speaking out about this?
You have to ask the other eight members, Mark. I don't know.
It just seems, you know, people question the city of Utica politics just for these reasons.
Well, that's why. I mean, people, and then the next breath, they'll say, we want to have people come in. We want people to bring their families and fortunes here. When they see this, and people do their homework, if they're going to move into another area,
yeah.
business or wise, and when they see this, they're not going to come up and say, look, you said this, but you didn't do that. They're not going to say that. You're just going to bypass it and move on to the next place.
Yeah. The new Observer Dispatch, what do you think?
I like it. Because now you can open it up. And if you're on
a bus
or someplace,
it was the big folder. Yeah, it's a little smaller format. And I like it.
Well, I used to be a paper boy back then when we used to have big papers. It was tough sometimes to fold. This
yeah.
is essential.
It's quick and easy. That's what I think. What other big issues are coming up, Frank? That you think the public should be aware of? Any big votes? Anything groundbreaking in the future?
Well, the next vote coming up, I asked for reconsideration of that 15% surcharge.
Yes.
Because I was misled. I was not given information. That, though, again, was a proposal and legislation sponsored by Councilman Jerry Krause. And he proposed a 15% surcharge on alcoholic beverages served at any event on city property. And at a number of meetings, he stated that we were following the Syracuse model. I did and get my hands on a Syracuse model, and that's far from the truth. The Syracuse model called for a 12.5% surcharge on alcoholic beverages only in downtown Syracuse, only there. After the vote, it was brought to my attention that not only did we not charge 12.5%, we went to 15%, but Syracuse was the target area was downtown. Ours was every single area in the city,
right, yeah.
every park.
Yeah.
The other thing that did not follow the Syracuse model, they did not have a $1 per ticket charge. We did. We added that. And so when you're told something, and it wasn't even done through the committee, but it was done last minute at the caucus, that we were following the Syracuse model, and then it ends up we were not, that's why I call for reconsideration. This will be brought up again at the next meeting, and I will vote against it.
So if a event, and I think the reasoning they gave for the dollar surcharge and the dollar ticket surcharge and the 15% surcharge was, well, they could just not sell a ticket and, or they could not sell beer. We still not getting money from the tickets. So they're trying to make it so they get some kind of money.
I'm not saying not to do something.
Right.
Okay?
So because you want to see some. What percent would you like to see?
Forget this from a political standpoint. Let's look at it from a business. You're a radio station.
I am, yes.
And you're competing with advertising from another radio station. If a radio station comes out, another radio station says our ad is going to charge 50. We're going to charge you 15% plus a dollar for each ticket for every single ad. And then another radio station says we're only going to charge you 12.5% extra with and only in this particular area, just downtown, and we're not going to charge you the dollar ticket. Who are you going to advertise with?
Well, I'd have to look at some more information, Frank. I'd have to bring it to a council and a committee and take a look at it. Maybe sit on it for a little while and bring it back.
Now you're going political. Maybe you should run, Mark.
It's funny. I was talking to a restaurant owner the other day, and he was thinking about running. And I said, yeah, why don't you run? He goes, I don't want the headaches. And it's got to be tough owning a business. You own a business.
I'm the only member on the council that owns a retail business, so obviously I see it from a different standpoint. I have to deal with it every day.
It's got to be a headache. It's got to be tough, and it's got to be busy. And especially now you're out there knocking on doors, getting petitions.
And this just reinforces what I've been saying, because the ideas that I get are from the public. And on the petition run, people tell you, you know, you're on the right track. We appreciate what you're doing. And that's helpful, because to hear that you're on the right track, and you hear from so many people, that makes it much more easier, but it's nice to hear.
Yeah, yeah. You're no spring chicken anymore, Frank. It's got to be
Did you have a did you take any PR courses?
No, I haven't actually.
Particular refresher.
Frank Fassera, thanks so much. And your website, too. You got a website, Frank Fassera.
Yeah, and it's frankfassera.com. And you can go on that and every week and get the agenda. I've been pushing to have our agendas put on the city website.
And I don't know why that hasn't been done.
Transparency, to me, is something very important. And it seems that's just not important to a lot of other folks. But you can get the agendas for the Common Council Caucus in meetings on my website. And again, it's frankvassera.com.
And really, if you're out there, if you're a City of Utica resident and you're concerned about the way the city is, get down to the Common Council meeting. Get down to the meetings. I hate reading the internet and all these blogs out there. These people, profess to be experts on city government and what's going on, and they got the inside track on everything. And I'm reading it. I'm like, that's just not true. And you're complaining about this. Well, they just brought this up in the meeting. Or Randy Soggs just talked about they're giving the city this bill. It kills me that people just talk about stuff they don't know about. And so if you get down to the Common Council meetings and you sit through them, you'll be informed about what you're talking about. And if you don't, then stop complaining.
And if anyone does have any questions, again, you can go to my website, or my phone number is 797-7893.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. It's been an early morning, I know.